Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Power Up and Game. This is episode 22, and I'm your host, Michael. And I'm joined once again by our official, unofficial third member, Taylor. Taylor, how's it going?
It's going pretty good, man. I'm excited to get into our show today. There's not many weeks where we only have one topic, but that's what we got here today, and we're going to be talking about opening night live. But I thought it was a fine show. We'll talk about it. There's some ups and downs for sure. I'll say that.
Yeah, I think Jeff Keighley did a good job with the show, as usual. I mean, the guy, he knows what he's doing at this point. Like, I'm sure he can do this in his sleep now. So our main topic tonight, opening night live 2022 recap and thoughts. All right, so there were a bunch of games showing off at opening night live. I almost said Saturday Night Live. So instead of us going through each individual game one by one, we're going to group them up, starting with some of the biggest announcements in the first few groups. So here we go. Our first group, Dead Island 2 is real and it's dropping on February 3rd, 2023. The Lords of the Fallen gets a brand new trailer. Lies of P is a Pinocchio-inspired Souls-like title from developer Round 8 Studios and publisher NeoWiz. And a new game called Everywhere opened up the show, which seems to be a very ambitious title from Builder Rocket Games. So Taylor, kick us off. What do you think about this first group of games that were shown off?
Well, first off, I do want to say, I don't know if it's going to come across like this to anybody listening, but this whole episode seems cursed a little bit. We'll see. This is third time's a charm for us, but I think Dead Island 2 is by far the biggest thing from this show, which I kind of didn't expect. We were talking about this last week, and we were like, what's going to be the best, the big thing to send everybody home? And both of us, as much as we were hoping to see Dead Island 2, I remember both of us being like, I don't think that could be the thing they show last, though. It's got to be something else. But no, this is the thing that capped off the show. I am very happy to see that the game is still in development. It's not just reports anymore. This thing is, like you said in our rundown here, it's dropping February 3rd. We got some gameplay. We got a really good trailer off of that. And it looks like a bunch of fun, man. I don't know what else to really say about it. But Lords of the Fallen, I thought that was a pretty interesting trailer. It seems to be a revamp of what was it Lords of the Fallen 2, so it's a brand new title. They're pulling the Suicide Squad, basically, in terms of making their titles. Lies of P was a game I was very excited for. I don't know about you, but when I saw this trailer and it seemed like a Soulsborne kind of game, and for some reason it's Pinocchio inspired, I'm like, I don't know why you went with this, but fuck it. It's intriguing enough. I appreciate the creativity. And Everywhere is one of those things to where I think the creativity might hamper the game a little bit. We'll see. But this, it's in the rundown. It's what you said. This is a very ambitious game. It looks to be. It really shows, I think, too, how ambitious it is that Jeff Keighley and company felt like they should open the show with it, too. So, I'm curious to see where Everywhere is going to end up. What about you, though, man?
So, before we actually get into it, did you hear about the game Everywhere being touted as a NFT crypto project?
I have not heard that.
Yeah, it's a thing that's going around that people thought that it was going to be like a NFT crypto project because a bunch of developers are doing that.
Okay, so this was before this trailer. That was the rumor.
It was after.
Oh, okay.
I think it was like before or after. I can't really recall. It was like, no, I think it was after. But that's been debunked from what I can tell. But yeah, everybody has for some reason think this is some kind of blockchain powered NFT crypto thing. I hope it's not. I mean, like I said, a bunch of developers are doing it. Square Enix is doing it. Ubisoft tried it with their court system. So I hope that's not a thing, but it does look ambitious, and I hope that's not where their ambition is taking them. But Lies of P, I think looks interesting because I'm not really a Souls person. I'm not a Souls-like person. I don't really care for that style of games of being overly cryptic with janky controls. And like, it looks cool, don't get me wrong. But Bloodborne was like the first one of these Souls-like games where I was like, I see the appeal. It's kind of fun. It's not for me. So Liza P, it looked cool until I saw that it was Souls-like, and I was like, I'm out. And then they announced, oh, by the way, it's coming to Game Pass. I was like, oh, shoot.
I'm gonna actually try it now. You might be back.
Yeah. It's like, I got nothing to lose. Like, okay, I'll try it out.
Michael Thornton, Rick and Morty, you son of a bitch. I'm in.
You son of a bitch, I'm in. The Lords of the Fallen. Yeah, I agree with you. They do seem to be doing Suicide Squad. The Suicide Squad kind of thing, where instead of Lords of the Fallen, it's the Lords of the Fallen. And we just had Saints Row come out and do a reboot. And so having Lords of the Fallen kind of do a reboot? Or
it like seems like a sequel revamp. We'll see. I didn't play the first one. So if you have played the first Lords of the Fallen and you could clarify that for us, please do so in the comments or in our Discord. But yeah, I'm curious to see what that is, because from some recaps I've read, it seems like this was retitled from Lords of the Fallen 2. So either way, I feel like it's an interesting title. I really like the trailer from what we saw of it.
Yeah. And Dead Island 2 is the one I'm excited for some
reason. Real quick, I want to get into, I feel like the main thing in this group is Dead Island 2. I want to get into that. But real quick, before we do that, I do have the statement from Build a Rocket Boy, from who is the developers behind Everywhere.
Oh, is that about their about the crypto deal?
Yeah. And here's what they said. Quote, "We're seeing some conversation on NFTs/cryptos that are prompted by some of our open positions on our website. These are research positions, as we do not like dismissing new technologies only because others haven't found a solution for them yet. We are building Everywhere on Unreal Engine 5, not the blockchain. We are creating a new world for players where we can come together to play, watch, create, share, and so much more. We hope this helps clarify some of the speculations around this topic," end quote. And again, I want to get into Dead Island 2 here in a second, but talking about Everywhere, I think this is the detriment a little bit to the game, is that's all I heard them talk about when they were up there. And there's some interesting stuff there to where it changes its art style. Like, we see two different art styles in the fucking trailer, which is cool. But everything the developer's saying is how ambitious it is, and it's also at the same time very vague. And I know they're in pretty early development still, but I don't think there's enough here yet to where I could latch on to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, really cool. Let's see where this ends up. But right now, I kind of feel like they showed it a little too early. But still interested, though. If they can pull something like that off, I think it'd be pretty cool. But to get into Dead Island 2 here, what did you think of the gameplay we got, the CGI trailer we got?
I didn't care for CG trailer. It's kind of cool, but hey, remember, almost 10 years ago, you showed us the same, like, not the same, but like equally cool announcement trailer that we all thought was fun. The first Dead Island had one of the best announcement trailers, and very few trailers have even come close to topping that one. So I was like, okay, yeah, this is fun. This is kind of cool. Like, awesome. We got another CGI trailer, and then they showed the actual gameplay for it. It looks, I don't know how, but it looks like an improvement over the first one. Because I still have Dead Island 1 and Lost Tide wrapped up in plastic on my 360 in my room somewhere. And I still haven't played Riptide, but I heard Riptide was a better Dead Island than Dead Island was. So I don't know. I think it looks fun. And I thought the first game looked fun too. So I'm hoping
this is a
huge improvement.
You kind of contradict yourself there. You said you don't know how it seemed like an improvement. But it seems like you didn't like the first game, so
I don't know what it was about the trailer, but there was something about it that looked like they've learned from the first one, because the first one was kind of janky, especially with the weapons. But in this one, maybe it was just the way it was edited, but it looks like it's smoother and the combat might be a little faster. So like you actually like kind of do like a speed run or like quickly get through hordes of zombies, a la what was it? Dead Rising style. And I love Dead Rising. So maybe that's what it's doing for me. Maybe it's because the combat looks more fun than the first one. The first one, the combat got so tedious. You would just run through zombies and not even interact with them because you would just stop caring. So I'm hoping this one is a huge improvement over that.
I think a big part of that is they built this game from the ground up. It really seems like this game was, no pun intended, dead at a certain point. It got brought back. And they're like, fuck it. If we're going to do this, we're gonna do it right. We're not going to half-ass it. And I think we see that in both trailers. I thought this was a really damn good showing. If it was just the announcement trailer, it would be like, okay, that was cool. I don't know if it should have capped off the show. I still don't know if it should have capped off the show. But it was also having both, having that really fun announcement, re-announcement trailer, I guess, to where it's, oh, here's the tone. We're going with this Shaun of the Dead, Zombieland, Dead Island tone. That's just wacky, but a lot of fun, and it's overly gory. And then we get some gameplay that's just more of the same, and it like you said, Michael, it looks so much fun. It just looks like a blast to play with your friends in this LA, which I believe they called Hell-A, landscape. So I can't wait to see more about this game. I can't wait. Apparently there's going to be 6 playable characters.
Yeah, 6 characters, and the one we saw in the pre-rendered trailer was one of those 6.
Jacob, I think it was his name.
Yeah.
If I remember that correctly. So I think this was a damn good showing for Dead Island 2. And I'm glad that this game, when it came back, it wasn't just what you were talking about. Was, oh, we saw an announcement trailer before, and that's all it is. I think the developers knew, okay, if we're re-debuting this game, we can't just show the Dead Island 2 trailer again and poke fun at it or something like that. They can't just do a random announcement trailer. They had to go more than that. You had to show something else, some gameplay, something about the game, show some details, and I'm glad they did that here. It was definitely one of the best things shown at this event.
It was, and they even saved it for like the last game that they shown, so I was like, oh, okay, that's kind of cool. That's not something you want to skimp over, because it's been a talk for like years of if this game's going to return, if it's done for, where is it in development? Is it in development hell? Has it been secretly scrapped? And so it's good to know that it's actually a thing. It's going to stay here.
This is a potential, and this is getting a little exaggerating here, but I think there's a little bit of truth in it too. If Dead Island 2 ends up being a really good game, that's one hell of a comeback story. In a way that we didn't expect. It's not like, oh, a comeback story like No Man's Sky or Sea of Thieves or anything. No, it's a comeback story from the game wasn't coming out. It was dead.
This thing should have came out around, what, the PS4?
Xbox One?
I would even say the 1X and the PS4 Pro. It should have been out around
those. I don't know, man. I think it was before that. This game was a long time coming, yeah. This game is about, I want to say 2012 was when it was announced.
Oh my goodness.
Jeez. So that's what I'm saying. If this game ends up being good, which by the brief look we got of it, I think the tone fits very well. And I think it does something to where you look at another game that's very similar for reasons people who listen to this podcast probably know, Dead Island and Dying Light. Dying Light is a little more, I don't want to say serious, but it has a little bit of a different tone to it.
It's definitely more serious with its atmosphere than...
Yeah, it's still wacky, like, though, but it has a little bit of like, oh, it is more serious than Dead Island. It has these parkour mechanics. There's certain things there. I'm glad Dead Island's keeping its wacky tone. because I think it's going to help them stand apart from Dying Light. And for people who could be like, oh, I just got done playing Dying Light 2. I had a lot of fun with it. Okay, I can play Dead Island 2 and get a different experience out of it too.
Yeah, because I didn't, like, yeah, you're right about the whole Dying Light 2.
Yeah, I got you.
They're all starting to blend together. Some people make that comparison, but you know, I didn't even think about that. I didn't even think about Dying Light. Like, I was thinking of Dead Rising. You know, I was thinking of like Saints Row. I was thinking of like those, the brighter, more goofier tone. But yeah, I can see somebody going from Dying Light to Dead Island 2.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that to bury one to prop up the other. If they can pull off a good tone here and have enough things to make it feel distinct from a Dying Light, you could have fans of Dying Light come over to Dead Island 2, vice versa, and you could just have your own really cool thing there. Because you look at, you brought up Dead Rising too. Like, Dead Rising is a franchise that, let's kind of be honest here, hasn't really done much since Dead Rising 4, which was not that great of a game.
Ooh, yeah. Oh, man.
So if you could pull that feel also, have this mix of a Dead Island plus Dead Rising plus Dying Light kind of feel, oh, that's going to be good, man. That's going to be a good game if they can pull that off. And like I said, I think that would be one hell of a comeback story.
It'd be one of the greater. I'm not gonna lie, when I saw the trailer at first, I was like, "Oh, we're finally getting something from Beyond Good and Evil 2," and it turned out to be something else. I was like, "Oh, wait, whoa, oh my goodness, I was off. I was thinking about a different Dead game. That's so cool." Oh man, speaking of Dead things, Killer Clowns from Outer Space is getting a video game adaptation, and it's a multiplayer game. Gotham Knights got a new trailer showing off the game's villains, and the game is also dropping a few days earlier. Survival MMO Dune Awakening was announced, and we're getting a new Tales of the Borderlands game called New Tales of the Borderlands, and that game is actually dropping in October. Also, Sony revealed a new PS5 controller called the PS5 DualSense Edge. And Sonic Frontier is releasing on November 8th, and we got a new story trailer for the game. All right. Taylor, you're better than old school guy. Do you know anything about Killer Clowns from Outer Space?
Man, I have no fucking idea what this franchise is. I hope people who are fans of the franchise are happy about this, because I love the trailer for this. But do you know anything about this before we go any further?
I know very little, and to be honest, not a whole lot. I'm sorry. Yeah, I know. I hope you knew something.
What good are we?
It's one of those cheesy, boppy, this shouldn't work kind of horror movies. Think Leprechaun. Those were the poppy movies I was watching. I was watching stupid crap like Leprechaun in the Hood, and you know, I know a lot of people they enjoy Killer Clowns. So I think with Killer Clowns from Outer Space, I think they're going with like a Dead by Daylight kind of multiplayer. So I'm okay with that. Like, clowns are already creepy, but clowns from space, I'm okay with it. For some reason, I knew Killer Clowns from Outer Space was a movie franchise or something from like way, way back before even I was born. And I don't know how. Maybe I have seen snippets of the movie. Maybe I've seen a thing or two about it. Maybe it was so terrible I buried it away in my subconscious. I'm not really sure. But for some reason, seeing a clown come out of a pizza box was entertaining to me and made me so much more interested in this than I should have been.
Yeah, man, I'm with you. I also, we talked about, what was it? I forgot the episode, but we were talking about these, not Dying Light. See, I got that on the mind. We'll talk about Dying Light later, too. That's the thing. That is showing here. But Dead by Daylight, Friday 13th, Evil Dead. I think there's another game coming out. I forgot what it was. But these kind of games, there's a market for it. And this seems to be another game in that genre. I'm excited to see what it actually looks like gameplay-wise. With Gotham Knights, I thought this was a good showing. I think we both had some reservations about the gameplay. I like the game's villains that they've shown off so far. I think it fits pretty well. Dune Awakening, I'm not that big into Dune franchise. I still have to finish the movie. I know everybody loved the movie that dropped, I think it was 2021, but I couldn't really get into it. I'm going to have to rewatch it and see if I can. But
the second part's coming out soon.
Yeah, I know. I might try to watch it in anticipation for that, and hopefully it catches on. But Tales from the Borderlands, or New Tales from the Borderlands, that's when I'm going to wait for the reviews. I love the first Tales from the Borderlands. But completely new characters, new settings. We'll see. We'll see. I think it's a good thing that they worked on this game in secret for the most part, because this was another thing that was leaked. But it's coming out in October, so it's not that long of a wait. But that could be a sneaky good game this year. It really could. In terms of the PS5 controller, Xbox Elite controller, pretty much. Awesome for PlayStation fans. Awesome for PlayStation fans right now, because we're not going to talk about it on this show, but the PS5 in certain countries is going to increase in price.
Pretty much everywhere but America.
Yes, so that's very unfortunate. But especially after this news here with the PS5 controller, the PlayStation 5 DualSense Edge, it was okay, awesome. They're getting an Elite controller that seems to be really fucking cool. I think they said you can see more details about it on the PlayStation blog. And then to have a few days later that news about the PS5 come out, it really sucks. It's like, oh, that was a cool little story. Nope, never mind. Everybody's pissed at him.
Yeah, not too long after the announcement that PSVR 2 is coming out in March. Or, not March, but early 2023.
Yeah. And finally, Sonic Frontiers. I know you're a fan of this game. You're probably going to have a lot more to say about it than I will. It looks interesting a little bit to me with the story. I don't think we saw any gameplay, if I remember correctly, but because that was something you were predicting. You thought we would see gameplay. So we just got a story trailer. So,
all right. So I'm actually going to start with the Sonic Frontiers. They did show gameplay. That trailer showed cinematics and gameplay at the same time.
Okay.
So it was actually a pretty cool mixture. So I think their cutscenes, because usually they try to use like pre-rendered cutscenes in some of the Sonic games, but I think they're using in-game assets this time around, which I think helped really blend in that whole cinematic look that they're going for with the gameplay.
People forgive me. There was like 30 games shown here.
Oh, yeah. No. There's a bunch of them. I have not been a fan of the Sonic games in recent history, because I think that they've just been kind of eh. Of course, I have like Sonic. Sonic Forces. I have that one. My nephew loves the hell out of that game, so good on him for that. I didn't really care for Colors because I didn't try it, because I was kind of Sonic out at that point. But for this, this is like the kind of Sonic game I was not hoping, but fantasizing about for a long while.
Am I wrong in saying this is the Sonic game that fans of the franchise are really hoping? Because I don't think that's a hot take or anything, what you were saying before. It seems, especially with the movies, it's the conversations kind of come up to where, well, hopefully the video games can bounce back. Like, the movies are making money and the franchise is getting more eyes on it. And it seems like Sonic Frontiers is that game I think a lot of people are like, okay, this is it. This is the one that's going to get everybody back on track. This franchise is going to go back the way it used to be.
Yeah, I think this is the evolution that Sonic needed. I know a lot of people don't really care for it, but the last Sonic game that I really enjoyed, unfortunately, was Sonic Adventures and Sonic Adventures 2. And I wanted something more like that again. I wanted something a little less like old school Sonic and have him modernize, have him evolve beyond just going left to right in a 2D plane. I know that's something that Sonic fans really love. Even Mario has advanced the way his gameplay is. Like, every time you look around, Mario's trying something new. Mario Galaxy was like the biggest evolution in Mario history. Mario and Luigi, their DS game, those were really cool. Like, Nintendo's always trying to change the way Mario does things, but still keeping it Mario. And I really want to see that from Team Sonic. I want to see Sonic do something different. I think this is the thing that's going to have me look at Sonic and be like, okay, I'm back in. I'm ready to be a Sonic fan again. I'm ready for Adventures 1 and 2 remake. Something, please. Make me excited for Sonic again. And I think Frontiers might be that thing to actually bring me back in.
We kind of talked about Killer Clowns from Outer Space, both of us have earlier. So you're down for that as well?
Killer Clowns from Outer Space, no. Because again, I don't really care for the Dead by Daylight gameplay. Because it's streamer bait. That's all it really is. This stuff that people love to watch streamers play.
You've talked about before, you're not a big fan of, for example, survival games and stuff like that. Yeah. So I think it's one of those things, especially, it's just some people are into those genres, some people aren't. For me, it was one of those things to where I remember playing Friday the 13th, and whenever you're Jason and your friend, where everybody's just in the party, and you're just like, oh, we're about to have some fun. I'm about to kill everybody in brutal fashion, and it's going to be hilarious. And I think there's a lot of fun to be had there. Again, like, I completely get it. It's one of those genres you're either... You either, honestly, you fuck with it or you don't. For me, I'm one of those people that, like, okay, let's see what it is. I'm interested, though. But yeah, I 100% get your perspective on it.
Right, but the thing is for that, for me, was, like, the biggest thing for me was that was, how was it called? Evolve. Evolve was a game that, like, got me interested in the everybody versus one player thing. I know Microsoft tried it with Fable once upon a time, and that failed. That never made a release. I even forgot what it was called. I think it's called Fable Legends or something like that. I forgot what it was called. But they tried doing a multiplayer, everybody versus one player ordeal. And Evolve soured me on that because it was like, wow, this is such a cool concept, but so poorly executed. And it has kept me away from other games like that forever. And I watch plenty of streamers play Dead by Daylight. I have a couple of friends who are streamers who found an audience thanks to Dead by Daylight.
They're definitely streaming games.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. So I'm not knocking anybody who's like, oh, I really like this game, because man, the support those games get, like, those are the live service games that make live service look like it works. Like, those make sense. Like, okay, I like that. So Killer Clowns from Outer Space, I'm not interested in it, but I do like the idea.
Hey, look, man, I will say one last thing before you move on. We did have an episode a few weeks ago where our entire main topic were, hey, let's have some fun. What movie franchise or TV show would make for a good video game? I'm not saying that we called that there would be a movie to video game adaptation being announced here at Opening Night Live, but the timing of these episodes were convenient as hell.
You're not wrong. But as for Tales of the Borderland, I thought the first one was okay. It definitely wasn't Telltale's best. I still like Wolf Among Us as their best. Wolf Among Us and Walking Dead franchise was Telltale's best. And I also love the Sim and Max. So for me, yeah, all those games that they worked on overshadow anything that was happening with Tales of the Borderland. New Tales of the Borderlands, I wasn't that excited. I was like, oh God, we're getting another one? Is this all Gearbox has? Does Gearbox have anything other than Borderlands? And I think the answer to that is no. I don't care for survival MMOs, so Dune Awakening didn't do much for me. And like you, I haven't even started watching the first movie. I haven't read the book. I wanted to see the first movie, but I was like, yeah, I missed out on that. And I'm not excited for the second one.
It reminds me a little bit, and this isn't a bad thing, it's just one of those things that you got to know what you're getting into. It reminds me a little bit of like the Game of Thrones world or a Lord of the Rings world, where there's a lot of lore that you got to learn. And I'm like, okay, I'm down for that. But you can't just go into it one day where you're like, okay, just want to put on an action movie. Okay, I've never seen Dune before. Let me watch it. It's got to be one of those things where I'm just sitting there and going, okay, I'm going to sit down. I'm going to understand what's going on. I'm going to get into this. And I just haven't done that yet. So I'll eventually do it one of these days. Probably whenever Dune, the sequel, is getting close to release.
Yeah, I'm going to try it. I know I will. All
right, real quick, Gotham Knights, we got to go, man. We got stuff to talk about. This is a long-ass showcase.
it's 2 hours long. We're trying to condense into an hour. Gotham Knights, still not excited for it. I'm sorry, I'm not. It's probably gonna be one of those games that I get on sale. Like I'm not saying that it looks bad, but it's not something I'm gonna pick up on day one. When it comes to like $30-$40 and all the DLC is out, when they do a Gotham Knights Complete Edition, because you know that's what WB is gonna do, then I'll get it. But until then, it's gonna be sitting there in the digital ether, just waiting for me to pick it up.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I think this is, well, to an extent, I think I'm more excited about it now than you and Riley are. I haven't talked to Riley about it, but
granted, those first ones that they had was kind of eh, but they really seem to take all the stuff that they've heard, all the feedback, they took into stride, and I will admit, they've shown better stuff this time around.
Yeah, I definitely want to give them credit for that. It does seem like they've taken feedback and put it into game development, which is great to hear.
All right, moving on to our next group of games. Oh, I'm sorry, next group of announcements. Something Wicked Games is a new studio formed by former Obsidian and Bethesda devs, and they are working on a new RPG called Wordsong, and I hope I said that right. Speaking of new studios, ex-Battlefield devs formed a new studio called Embark, and they are making a new shooter in a game show format called The Finals. We got gameplay trailer for Goat Simulator 3. Return to Monkey Island got a new look at Opening Night Live, and the game is releasing on September 19th. And Subnautica dev Unknown Worlds is making a digital tabletop game called Moonbreaker. All right, Taylor, this one might actually go a little quicker for us this time around. What do you think of this new studio, Wordsong?
Well, the studio is Something Wicked Games, but I'm excited for it. As soon as they listed off all the games and realizing, oh shit, this is from former Obsidian and Bethesda devs, it's like they are the one. It's like it is the best of both worlds right here. So I'm excited to see what this is going to be. It's one of those vague trailers that you see at these events, so we're not getting a lot really to go off of. It seems to be a fancy kind of title. But it's intriguing enough, especially with this and the ex-Battlefield devs with, what was it, The Finals? Those two games, they didn't show a whole lot, but I think it's the developers that has me more excited than anything else. So that was really cool. We got more gameplay for Goat Simulator 3. I kind of wanted them to have another Dead Island tease, just to mess with people, because Dead Island would be the last thing to show on the showcase. Return to Monkey Island, I like that trailer. I'm probably not going to play the game, but I thought the trailer was really fun. And honestly, the only negative I would have here is I'm just not that big into digital tabletop games, so Moonbreaker was kind of a dud for me personally. That's about it. This was a really good group here, I would say, of announcements.
I agree with you with Wicked Games. Having people from Obsidian and Bethesda come together to form a new studio is kind of cool, because they are just great at RPGs. And I don't know, maybe they'll take on Bethesda as one of the buggiest game devs in the world. Because Obsidian is known for working on like a tight budget and a quick timeline. And their games, wow, they're so awesome. They never get the time that they need to be fully polished. So it'd be kind of interesting to see how they work with the new studio and Bethesda devs. Well, I don't know what it is Bethesda, but they love recent games buggy as hell. So who knows, maybe Something Wicked Games would be the next Bethesda with buggy games. The Finals, it's going to be another free-to-play. Man, how many free-to-play multiplayer games do we actually need?
You said how many free-to-play games do we really need?
Yeah.
Depends how many are going to be good. There's a lot of really good free-to-play games out there. There's a lot of really shitty ones. So depends on which one this one's going to be. If it's going to be a good one, fuck yeah, go ahead and release it. Let's see what it's all about. This is going to be one of those, I know it's a free-to-play game, but you know what I'm talking about when I say microtransaction heavy, to where that's all it looks to be, is a game filled with microtransactions and not really fun gameplay. Then we don't need it, because the industry is kind of filled with those. So I think that's just going to depend on what the gameplay is going to look like.
Yeah.
We're running out of time, unfortunately. I'm having to wrap up a little bit earlier than I thought I would. So let's go ahead and get some rapid fire things here. I'm going to get your thoughts on all these games real quick, Michael, and I'll share mine, and we'll just wrap up. So, cool. Stranded Alien Dawn, a planet survival sim, was announced. The Callisto Protocol got another new look ahead of its December release date. Hogwarts Legacy also got another new look ahead of its February release date. Dying Light 2 Bloody Tides, the game's first major DLC, got a new trailer. We got a brief gameplay trailer for Justin Roiland's High on Life. A new game called Friends vs. Friends was announced, and it's certainly a game. But in all seriousness, it's a card-based shooter title from publisher Raw Fury. Moving Out 2 got announced. Focus Home Entertainment revealed Atlas Fallen, a game where you use sand as a weapon. We got a new trailer for The Expanse, a Telltale series. Michael, you were talking about the Telltale franchise earlier. And Everstone Games revealed their new game called Where Winds Meet. There's also a few other games that we didn't get a chance to talk about. I'll get into those later. But, Michael, what are your thoughts on all those games here?
All right, Stranded Alien Dawn. Not much to say on that. We all know how I feel about survival games. So, go past that. Callisto Protocol. It feels like we talk about this game every other episode now. It looks the same. I hope you and Riley.
We talked about last week, man. We talked about for us, we were sitting here, we were like, we don't need to really see anything else. We're in.
Yeah.
So I think everything here was just like,
This was just a reminder. that was showing off again. Hogwarts Legacy. I'm sorry. There's nothing left to show in this game. We've seen everything. All that's left is the release. So February.
Polish it up. Get it
ready. Yeah, just like polish it up. Get it out. Because we've seen everything there is to see. Dying Light 2, Bloody Tides. It's the first major DLC. Again, we were talking about Dying Light earlier. Again, this feels like something that I want to play, but I have to wait until the game's like finished, which the devs said they're working on a 10-year plan for this. And I believe them because, man, they supported Dying Light until like what? Last year? Earlier this year?
I think it paid off for them too, considering how much people loved the first Dying Light.
Yeah, absolutely. So Dying Light 2, I have to wait another 10 years before I can play Dying Light 2. And Justin Roiland's High on Life, feels like it belongs in the Rick and Morty universe because Justin Roiland won't hire anybody else to do jokes and voiceovers, so we're going to keep getting Morty. Which I know he's done that voice before Morty, but let's face it, that's what everybody knows that voice from. So High on Life actually looks kind of fun. It's on Game Pass, so woo! I'm going to play it. So that's a day one Game Pass for me. Friends versus Friends. Okay, this is the game that got me to perk up and go, oh my goodness, I want to play that right now.
I knew that was going to get you. I fucking knew it. I watched it and I was like, look, I'm not hating on this game. Yeah. It sounded, okay, for one thing, the music for it, it sounded like a kid's cartoon. And yes, it was meant to, and I fucking loved it. It was like, it was like a Dragon Tales kind of deal or something like that. I'm so like, great. You know what? I know what you're doing, and it's really hilarious. You have this shooter, and you have this Dragon Tales like theme behind it. I'm like, what is this? And the whole time watching it, I went, I know Michael's gonna want to talk about this fucking game. I already know it. Yeah, all right.
I wish we had this at the beginning of the show where I can talk about it a bit more. But yeah, it looks great. It's first person shooter and a card based game that you play with your friends. It's a multiplayer game. It looks fast-paced, it looks goofy, it looks fun, it looks colorful. I even tweeted that I want a Saturday morning cartoon of this game, a la Cuphead. I want somebody to take this concept and just make a mini-series out of it. You know, I want to see more of that. So Friends versus Friends, that's something I'm looking forward to. Moving Out 2, never played the first one, so unfortunately I don't have much to say for that. Atlas Fallen. Bruh. I don't really understand where they were going with this game because I thought it was Forspoken for a second. I was like, ooh, I feel kind of bad because I know it's not. They showed this CG trailer that looked kind of cool and then showed like 3 seconds of gameplay. And I was like, okay, that was even more confusing now. So it looks kind of cool. It looks like it might be a co-op game. I hope it is. It looks pretty fun from what they've shown. I like the idea of using your surroundings as a weapon. And The Expanse, the Telltale series. I never watched The Expanse, so I'm not excited for this. And like I said, like you mentioned earlier, I enjoyed some of Telltale's earlier stuff. I'm still waiting for Among Us 2. Among Us. Oh my goodness. I'm still waiting for The Wolf Among Us 2, which they announced forever ago. I was hoping for something like that, but instead I got The Expanse. But don't get me wrong, it does look cool, and I do like that they're putting so much effort into this because it does look like they're fans of the franchise, and it does look like they're doing something that they're really passionate about. Where Winds Meet. I have no idea what the world I'm looking at. I don't know what to say about this game.
It looked beautiful. Let me go ahead and... Yeah, I'll kind of take the baton a little bit here. That game looked fucking beautiful. I'm not sure about the gameplay. Like, it's one of those things where the style of the game, the way it looks versus the gameplay, it clashes with each other, and I'm not sure how to feel about it. I don't know if you felt similarly.
Well, the thing is, it felt like a tech demo to me, and a lot of these Chinese games are starting to come out, and they look awesome. There were some frame rate hitches here and there in the gameplay trailer, but for some reason, I don't know, it kind of like a cool tech demo to me. But yeah, it did look cool though.
As for me, I've already thought about Where Winds Meet, but guess I'll start here at the top. I'm just gonna talk about the stuff I was really interested in. I'm not gonna waste time on anything else. Like we were talking about, Callisto Protocol, we're both in. Anything here was just, as you said, a reminder to be like, hey, this game's coming out in December. Hogwarts Legacy, I'm with you, man. This game, just polish it up, release it. There's not much more to show. It seems that the gameplay is about the same from what they showed with their gameplay demo months back. So that's fantastic for fans of the franchise, because it seems like a lot of people were very positive about that gameplay demo when it dropped. Dying Light 2 Bloody Tides, I thought that looked pretty good. And honestly, the big thing out of this group of games right here was High on Life. I thought it was pretty funny. I know it's Justin Roiland doing his Morty voice, but there's something about the concept, though, of your guns are your companions and who you're talking to during the whole game. And the knife that also acts as like this grappling hook for you. And then not only that, it seemed like the boss you were fighting, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but the boss that you're fighting against, her weapon was rooting for you. I think, which, if I read that right, that's fucking hilarious. It's like, I hope you...
But seriously, I mean, everybody, I do like the idea, because I mentioned a few episodes ago that I loved Oddworld Stranger's Wrath, which was set in an Oddworld game. He plays a bounty hunter, and his weapons were alive too. And I can't remember, but I think they get like Chris Rock to do one of the weapons, if I remember correctly. I don't know. But yeah, it reminded me of Stranger's Wrath. And I like Stranger's Wrath, so I'm hoping High on Life is going to be great. And again, it's on Game Pass, so that's going to be awesome.
But we have some other games that we didn't talk about. Michael, just let me know if you were interested in any of these games or moments from the showcase. There was Destiny 2 Lightfall, Under the Waves, Scars Above, Phantom Hellcat, The Outlast Trials, Blacktail, Tortuga, A Pirate's Life, Marauders, Homeworld 3, Alchemy Games showed off a new VR game, Age of Empires 4, Ottomans and Malayans expansion, Park Beyond, Warhammer 40K Darktide, Dwarf Romantic, I think is that how you pronounce that, is dropping on the Nintendo Switch, Genshin Impact 3.0, and I had to put this last, I'm sorry, but we talked about last week, Michael. We said, hey, Jeff Keighley and Hideo Kojima are really good friends. Kojima's going to show something at this event. It was him showing off his new podcast for Spotify. It was not on my bingo card. I don't know if it was on your bingo card. And if so, I have some questions.
Yeah, only half. I would be surprised if Jeff doesn't bring out Hideo Kojima for something. And I thought it was going to be game related. But nope, it's for a podcast, which Jeff is going to be a guest on every now and again, or at least once. It's like, of course. You're talking about a podcast, but of course Hideo isn't busy enough. As for all the things that you had in that list, the one thing that really caught my attention was Phantom Hellcat. It looks stylish, it looks cool, it looks fun. I'll kind of want to get my hands on it. It kind of had like this Devil May Cry kind of deal going on with it. I think somebody said it was like inspired by Nier, which I like Nier, so that's going to be awesome. I'm always down for a hella cool hack and slash game. Like, that's just my bread and butter right there.
Yeah, for me, Dying Light. I did it again, Michael.
Yes.
I can't quit talking about Dying Light this show. Destiny gotcha. 2, Lightfall. So I have, if you listen to this podcast over the last several weeks, I've been getting back into Destiny 2. And they just released Ark 3.0. And now they're moving on to their new expansion next year, Lightfall. And man, I think this looks fucking great. It seems like Destiny 2 is not going away anytime soon. I think Bungie said that they're not sunsetting content anymore, any more expansions. They're done with it. That they're messing with their engine, which I think is fucking fantastic. So, good showing here for Destiny 2. Not necessarily at Opening Night Live, but just overall over the past week. But, let's go ahead and wrap up here. Let's talk about what we're working on and where can people find us. Michael, what you're working on? Where can people find you?
Oh, man, I am working on a couple previews. I'm also working on previews. I know, I'm a busy, busy boy. But I'm also doing photo editing for now. But you can keep up with me on Twitter and all that, but I'll get to that in a second. But what I'm playing right now is, and don't get mad at me, Apex Legends Mobile. I don't know what happened. I've fallen back down the rabbit hole. I thought I'd give up on Apex Legends. But Apex Legends Mobile is actually kind of fun. And it reminds me why.
So I you like had this whole self-righteous speech about free-to-play games.
Hold on. I'm
fucking with you, but still.
But yeah, I've fallen back into the rabbit hole. It reminded me why I like Apex Legends in the first place. It's gone back to a more simplified Apex Legends before they started doing a whole bunch of gimmicky stuff. The only thing gimmicky they have in there is the Replicator, which I don't mind, and the Evo Shields, which I hate. But yeah, I've gone back to playing Apex thanks to my phone.
As for me, you can find me on this podcast here. You could also find me on our other podcast here at the Nerdstash Network. If you like what you heard today, be sure to join our Discord. The link for that is in the description of this episode. I also want to apologize to Michael because I just now realized like I just stole the hosting chair from you.
No, take it. But, go ahead. You're on a roll.
Also, if you like what you heard, consider leaving us a rating. It would also be awesome if it was, what would you say, Michael? A positive rating? Give us, I don't know if you could do this, give us a 7 out of 10. Whatever a 7 out of 10 is, we'll take a passing grade.
It's higher than anything Saints Row is getting right now, so we'll take it.
If we didn't have Opening Night Live, it would have been PlayStation 5 news. It would have been Saints Row. We would have had stuff to talk about. And finally, check out thenerdstash.com for all sorts of news in the world of gaming, movies, television, comics, and so much more. We got lists, we got guides, we got opinion pieces. Did I say reviews yet, Michael?
I don't think so.
So we got reviews as well. We get all sorts of stuff that you would want over at thenerdstash.com. I want to thank Michael for joining me. I want to thank anyone for listening in. Our show is still up in the air for next week. We'll either be doing a deep dive discussion on a recently released game that, we're going to go ahead and spoil it, is not Saints Row.
No.
Or we'll be talking about some more gaming news. Regardless, though, we will have a new show next week, and we will see you then.